This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Great Scott!
I got a bad feeling about this.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. You, me, or nobody is going to hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
This is your time. Now go out there and take it.
Han Solo. I've been waiting for this day for a long time.
Can't wait.
This is the Bart and Han Show on 98.7 ESPN.
It's 11 o'clock in the greatest city in the world. Alan Han, Bart Scott. What's up, man? Tell them the number. Tell them all the info. How do they get us?
1-800-919-3776. And if you can't get us there, you can catch us on the tweet at Bart and Han. Mm-hmm. And listen, today we might want to do a little stuff different because we show a lot of love to the phone lines. Yeah. And I know you guys say, hey, we can't always get through. Bart, I'm calling and it's busy. I want to holler at you and Han. We
got like no flex. I can't call Han, but I can tweet at you and you never read your damn tweets.
So exactly. So what we're going to do today, we're going to spend a little bit more attention, a little time to those who decide to hit us on the social media aspect, you know what I'm saying? Please, no navel rings. No. We gotta be politically correct, so we can't call them the what stamp that it used to be. But you know the stamp
phrasing?
I'm talking about on the low back. We don't want to see any of those stamps on the back, right? Mm-hmm. If you can't get us there, DM Allen. DM Allen exclusively.
No, I don't.
At Barton Hyde on the Grizzlies. Yeah. Bill's under fire. He's going to have a week off this week because he has to face Action Jackson, and he's going with Superman with a suit full of kryptonite already on him. So he already know that he's going to get this butt whooping anyway. So, Bill, tell him where they can get us outside of those.
Instant shot or whatever it is.
All those spots, man. Yeah. How you doing today, Alan?
I'm good. You looked resplendent on Get Up this morning, as always. And it was nice that they actually let you talk this time.
Yeah, well, you know, it's a work in progress. I'm like Champ, right? It's Larry Curly Moe. I'm Champ. I'm like the cousin. I got to earn my spot. You know what I mean?
I hear you.
They've been there longer, I guess. But I tell you what, man. What? This is Effort Fridays, man. Yesterday we had the buffet.
It's not just Effort Friday. It's Friday the 13th.
Ooh.
And we had an episode.
Oh, yeah.
Anthony's in the new studio now, which we'll get to see eventually.
Where nothing's finished.
And yeah, we're working on it. It's like, you know, moving to a house and the house isn't really done yet, but you moved in anyway. And so he had to go into what they call the rack room, which is where all like the electronics and everything is. And man, I'm telling you, because he had us on FaceTime. And as he's walking in, it felt like the 80s movie.
Yep.
Where it's the start of the movie. And some innocent technician is walking into some room where there's only computer stuff going on, and he's walking around.
Oh,
and it had a little bit. It had a little bit of that
Gordon
Blair Reaver Witch type. Project kind of feel because he's holding the phone.
Yeah,
and he walks
there
in.
We go.
And then you're like, the drip comes from the ceiling,
and he steps on a puddle,
and he looks up, and there's the beast. And all that's left is like Anthony's bloody cell phone.
Right. And the main character finds him later.
Like we see his body being dragged away in a trail of blood following. And that's how the movie starts. And then you cut to Bruce Willis in the supermarket arguing with his wife about what type of oatmeal he should buy because his doctor said he needs more oatmeal. That's exactly what happens next, right? Like you're wondering, something just bad happened. Oh, there's the hero. And he's a regular guy shopping. And eventually he's going to have to kill whatever just killed poor Anthony.
And that's the subliminal message, right? Because the fact is, what's going to kill Bruce Willis first? The alien or the high cholesterol? That's why he's eating the oatmeal.
See, that's how they write it, though. They do that so much. Oh, he's so relatable. He's so relatable, right? Like, so there's that. But you know what else today is that we got to also shout out? Today is Winnie's first birthday.
Mm.
John Winthrop's daughter. He and
Cutie
Kelly's
pie.
Wife.
She's right. I saw her the other day.
A year old today. And we get to see her a lot of mornings. We get to see her sitting on daddy's lap on FaceTime. And
it's the highlight of the show. Honestly, it's the highlight of the show. No matter how sad I am, no matter what's going on.
You see her, right? And she's all happy and cooing. It's the best.
Yeah, man.
You know what's great? It's great to have a newborn and a one-year-old.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, obviously every day, you know what that's like. We all go through it. Like, it's more fun when somebody else has the one-year-old and you just get to see her.
Because we just get to see her having fun. We don't get to see when she doesn't want to go to sleep. Oh, and John knows he has to get up and deal with us.
The late nights, the diapers. I'm so glad. The last time I said I changed my last diaper, all of a sudden Callie appeared. So I don't want to say that again.
Yeah, you better stop shooting up.
But happy birthday, Winnie. Happy birthday. Enjoy. Have a great day. God bless.
I wonder what the hair is going to be like, because she's been rocking a bang. You know what I mean? She's been rocking a new bang.
Yeah, grow it out. See what happens.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? You never know what hairstyle is going to look like when she's older. Who knows? Maybe the 80s styles will come back. Maybe she'll get that big feathery.
Mohawk.
Or a mohawk. Why not? Girls can do that too. You know what? Girl power. By the way, speaking of which, breaking news in the in Major League Baseball.
Can't wait.
Bart, how about this? The Miami Marlins just made history.
What?
Kim Ng has become their GM. First female.
That's what I'm talking about. Progress.
I mean, talk about in the world of sports to hold such an executive position.
Listen, we all got daughters, and we all want them to have equal opportunities.
Oh, my God, yes. Highest-ranking woman in baseball operations among the 30 MLB teams. Believed to be the first woman hired to general manager position by any of the professional men's sports teams in North American major leagues.
Well, I got a problem with that, because I believe that my friend, my very good friend, who's running the Big Three, Amy Trash, was the general manager for the Raiders.
Was she the general manager? I know that she held an executive position with the Raiders. You're right.
I don't know, but I just want to shout out my friend Amy Trash.
Of course, yeah. She holds and they're certainly CEO.
Okay. Right.
I mean, that's a pretty high position, too, for a professional sports team. But still, for baseball, that's a big deal. And in today's world, as you said, we both have daughters. And I this is great. I celebrate this. It just shows you there are no more limitations.
Glass ceiling shattered.
That's right. So that's
good. Our elected vice president, woman.
Yes, vice president-elect, Kamala Harris. Correct. Another
women are really winning, man. Listen, I'm so for the empowerment of women. Oh, I had to hit mute because
I know
you
did.
I keep losing you guys. I keep losing your picture. So for those who don't know, I'm in the closet again at ESPN down here in Seaport. Mm. So like they put me in a little 8x. Listen, this looks like an interrogation room, or it's like with the lost tapes or something. That you know what I mean? It's like 8x8. It's only one way out.
So I'd be the good cop.
Silly. It's like where I come and I run from the monster and I hope that he don't open the door.
This is that the room you're hiding in. It has no windows.
Yeah, you got one.
Oh, so this is the utility closet now in that same movie that Anthony just got murdered.
What happened to all the sunlight?
And you're now the black guy in the movie.
Yeah.
You know,
I die in the first 30 minutes for sure. I'm definitely dying for the last 30 minutes. You know, I ain't making it to the
Friday
end of the credits.
Friday the 13th, man. Like, we got.
Listen, the only black person I ever known that survived the horror movie was Busta Rhymes when he was in Halloween and he had a jumpsuit on. He hit Michael Myers with the thrust kick. Only dude ever make it, man. That's why I love Busta. And his album is out now. Busta album is out now and it's hot.
I've been listening to it. I told you the intro's a little strange, though.
Yeah.
The whole purse
conspiracy
thing.
There.
It's a little out there, but his voice sounds fantastic, and the beats are always good.
Stop smoking the Newports.
He
lost weight. I think his voice was up because he was like 300 pounds, and all that fat was pushing against his esophagus.
You really think? I do think that has something to do with it. But
come on, man. You ever been around your fat friends?
I would probably say blunts have something to do with the voice, too.
But being around your fat friends, we all be listening. I be thinking myself, anytime you this fat, and we all have friends that this fat, and they talking to you, and they snoring at the same time. You're like, dude, did you sleep? Like, are you snoring? Like, man, what? Like, your eyes are open. Are you asleep?
Yeah, this is definitely F at Friday. We haven't even gotten on to any of the topics. It's week 10 of the NFL, and we haven't gotten on to a topic yet because we're all over the damn place. Let me ask you a question. I mean this sincerely. I mean it sincerely. And yeah, like I said, it was at the top of the show. You can call, but today we're going to do a lot more on the Twitter side of things because a lot of people on Twitter who can't call, they say, well, I'm working from home. I really can't call you. But I always ask questions. You guys never answer them. So at Bart and Han, we're going to follow that. We'll check it out. And maybe we'll go that route today. But Bart, I want to ask you a question that's been asked this week, but I want to know what you think about this. Because for the Jets are off this week, thank God. The Giants play the Eagles.
First place, baby.
I'm gonna give you this, the FPI's numbers about this game. And I know it sounds insane, but we know it's different today, this year in the NFCs. The Eagles enter the game at 3-4-1 with a 78% chance to win the division. According
so you're
to FBI.
Telling me there's a chance.
78% makes them the favorites, right? Now, if they win and beat the Giants, it moves up to 86%. Yeah. Pretty good. The Giants come into this game, and this is the one that, if you're a Giants fan, you're in a weird place.
They're fighting Joe Judge's.
They enter this game right now a mere 6% chance to win the division at 2-7 because they're 2-7. You would think, yeah. If they win this game, Bart, those chances move up to 15%, which doesn't sound like a lot, but they'd be 3-7, which you would think still should mean you have no chance, 15% and climbing. Are we looking at this game, and if you're Joe Judge and if you're a player on the Giants, is this a topic of conversation? Hey, guys, we get this game. They've got to now talk about us with this division. They left the door open, and we found our game. We're getting better each week, and there's a lot of time left in this season. Is that, like, if you're in the locker room, are you guys kicking that around, or are you like, I'm not, we don't talk about that stuff. Like, that's ridiculous. That's what fans talk about.
Man, that's a lie, man. That's a lie. We all want that playoff check, and we all want to be able to get to a point where we can perform on a big stage, and we can start making a name for ourselves, right? We talked about who's that, Longy. We talked about was on a national
Langy,
stage.
Longy,
streamer, whatever. And he introduced himself to the NFL. He introduced himself to his peers, right? We all want to be able to have that opportunity. And listen, nothing worse than showing up for work and knowing that no matter what you do, you're still taking your ass home at the end of the season. The fact that you have the opportunity to play meaningful football in November is a blessing and a miracle that everybody around you stinks as bad as you do. And listen, what they always say about the gazelle that gets up, knowing that he never has to outrun the lion, he just has to outrun the slowest gazelle. That's all you got to do. So listen, the NFC East is a group of gazelles, and you just got to make sure that you ain't the one that get caught. Matter of fact, you got to make sure that you win, because you can't just get beat. You can't just let the last two get caught. You got to let the three get caught, and three getting caught, one going to live to fight another day. And this is a great opportunity to see how players perform in high-pressure situations, right? This is letting you know.
So that's a good point, too. Yeah. Go ahead.
Anybody can play well. Danny Dimes can let it rip when there's no expectations, right? No pressure on him. But, man, I want to see what happens when this is a must-win. Anytime I can get you in a pressure situation, a must-win situation, and be able to test my guys and see what they're made out of, see who folds underneath the big lights and who steps up and embraces them, you know what I mean? This is a great opportunity, and this is a great teaching opportunity for Joe Judge to talk about situational football, how you win big games, things that you have to have when big games occur. And this is a big game. And listen, this is a big game, and who cares? If you're ahead of the process, these guys don't want to continue to lose. I understand they know if they lose, they're going to get a better draft pick. But if you can be better and you say, hey, guess what, man? We got some players on this team. We're ahead of the process. We went out and got Blake Martinez. We went out and made the trade for Bradberry. We got Logan Ryan. We got Peppers. We got a good enough guys. We made the trade for Leonard Williams. That's what I'm saying. If you look at the rosters now, the Giants have more invested in this team currently than what the Jets got in their team currently. Right, they have real money that they players. Jets got rid of all those players.
Mm-hmm.
So, you expect more. If you can do that and, man, be a playoff team, and even if it's for a week, who cares? Anything can happen, right? Anything can happen. We've seen teams like this creep into the playoffs, like the Seattle Seahawks, win a bad division and have the Saints have to come all the way across town. Who's to say if they win this division, it won't be the Rams that come all the way across town who struggles in different time zones? You got an opportunity. Hell, you win two games? Oh.
And cold weather.
Exactly.
Right, you think about that too. If you do get that game, if you win this division, you will have. I mean, Dallas, I guess, is the exclusion here. But if you're Philly, if you're Washington or the Giants, and you end up finding a way to win this division, you not only get the home game, which you shouldn't get. We all agree, right?
Right.
Like a 6-10 divisional.
Should reseed it. Yeah.
Yeah. But by rule, you will, and you're gonna. It's gonna be a cold weather game. So. If you're, and then you, like you mentioned, who's got to play that game? Would it be the Bucks? Would it be the, would it be the Cardinals?
Already played
the Rams?
Bucks. Yeah, come on over here.
And they've got to kind of come to, like we're talking about, I just named you three warm weather teams that would, now you would bring them into miserable cold weather December, late December.
Yeah, bring Kyler to that bad turf in MetLife. Come on. Go ahead, run, Kyler.
And the
go
bad,
ahead, Kyler.
Look at you.
Kyler, go ahead, run.
icy, slippery turf that reaches up and grabs your cleat and pulls you in different directions.
Have fun, Kyler. We got no edges for you. We got the 12th man. We got a new 12th man in MetLife. It's called the Turf Monster.
It's true. But you're telling me that if you're Joe Judge, you're pushing this narrative on your team. You're not paying attention to anything about what you really are. Like, this is important to the development of your culture, of your team, of your young players, because you present this as, you know what? This is a playoff game for us. This feels like a must win, and it's winnable, because the last time you played the Eagles, you had that game.
Yeah, and let me tell you something.
You had the game.
Yeah, Ingram just got to catch the ball. Let me tell you something. If this is how pivotal this game is for Philly, if the Giants win this game, they got three wins, and the problem is the Philly doesn't have all the losses yet, because they only have four losses. So that half game that's a tie, that can come back and be and really have a lot of weight.
Of course.
But listen to what the Philadelphia Eagles have after the Giants.
Schedule? Go.
Yes. They got the Browns. That could be a loss. They got Seattle. That could be a loss.
Interesting.
They got Green Bay. That's going to be a loss.
That's a lot of offense. You just named me two offenses that can light it up 30 points a game.
Yeah. They got New Orleans. That's going to be
a loss.
All
right, there's another one.
They got the Arizona Cardinals. That could be a loss.
Yeah.
So let's just say.
How's the Eagles' defense? Right.
Exactly. Let's just say, right, if the Giants win today, let's just say that the Eagles are going to lose all those games, right? And the last two games that you could say maybe Philly will have to win is against Dallas week 16 and against Washington week 17. So that only gives them five wins. Five wins.
All right,
that gives them five wins.
Okay, so now let me give you the
five
Giants.
Five and a half wins.
Let me give you Giants. So let's say the Giants get this game and they're 3-7. Now you have your bye, which is well-timed, by the way.
Yep.
Then you go at Bengals. Not an easy game, but...
But winnable.
Winnable. I mean, it's at Bengals, but still, it's fairly winnable. And you're coming off a bye, so you know you're prepared.
Yep.
At Seattle... Although that's interesting. To have that Giant defense go up against Seattle's offense is one thing, but the Giant offense going up against Seattle's defense is another. You can get real healthy. You can get real healthy. All right.
Yeah.
Then they play the Cardinals at home.
And
mid-December at home.
Yeah. Turf Monster.
Okay. Browns, just like the Eagles, have to play the Browns. It's all the same teams. They obviously are all playing the same teams. At Baltimore on the 27th. You don't love that.
Thank me, Barbara.
Don't love that. And then you finish against Dallas, which by then, all those guys have already gotten out of their leases. Their cars have been sent home.
Right.
Pretty much.
I just want a fair chance, man.
You're going into that game. It's a home game against Dallas right after New Year's. It's on the 3rd.
And Baltimore could be resting people, you know what I mean, that late if they're locked into the
wild card. You don't think they're trying to win a division at that point? I don't think
so. I'm saying if.
Okay.
If Pittsburgh. Remember, Pittsburgh's undefeated. So they're already two up. They're already two up on Baltimore. So another hiccup.
I play find the wins, and where am I finding wins there? I just gave you at Cincinnati. All right, maybe there's one on game.
One.
At
Seattle.
We got Dallas. Arizona at home, Browns at home, at Baltimore, Dallas at home. I see two wins.
I got five.
Google it.
I got five. Because
How do you get five?
I mean, if the Cardinals come to MetLife and it's cold in December, that can be a hiccup game. Right, so that's one. We know that they have solid defense, and now you take, you know, Kyler Murray. He's got, my hands are cold. I played in Oklahoma. Oh my God, the turf is dirty, man. The San Francisco 49ers are right.
By the way, my buddy Gambo does the radio in Phoenix. He does their afternoon drive. It's a very popular show. It's a really popular show. They get great ratings. Everybody listens. It's the only show in town, of course.
It's huge.
But they caught wind of you just crushing Kyler Murray when you and I were on Levitard.
Keep it real.
And so they used it, and you were getting eviscerated in Phoenix.
Oh, well, tell your buddy.
He DM'd me. He was like talking about it.
Tell him I'll call in. I got all the smoke. But I ain't taking no questions. I'm just going to make a statement and drop the mic. I ain't taking no questions.
Well, you know you always have to wait until you're proven right, and then you can say what you got to say now.
That's true.
Just wait for that to happen. I gave you their last six games after this game.
Right, so if they beat Dallas, that's
and
three.
You saw how many wins? I saw two. I see two
three.
And four.
Three.
You see three
again,
and three.
The Bengals.
So that's a six-win season.
Yeah, so that's all they need to win, the division, with six.
Whew.
Because if they got to beat, they got to beat the Cardinals, they got to beat the Bengals, and they got to beat Dallas. And then they got to, you know, that's four wins. That's six.
So this is the first of what's going to be obviously several must wins if they get this one. If they don't get this game, we're done with the whole division thing, right? You just give up on it. Yeah, now it's just about development, right?
Yeah, now it's time to tank.
So this is the one time, and it could be the first of several, but here's your first that sense of urgency type of game, and it shows you. Again, Joe Judge, if you're trying to develop something, this is great. Like, this works to his favor, doesn't it? Like, you said it too. Let's see who shows up now in a big spot. Who can, you know, Evan Ingram's got to make that catch against the Eagles. Well, he's going to have another chance. You know what I mean? Like you need to see some of these guys who will start to show you. I've always felt this way. I've talked about this with every team. When the Yankees had that young group, it's the same thing. But in 2017, it's always about this is great. You want, right? You want to see young players because that's how you evaluate them the most. It's hard to evaluate a player when your team sucks and the opponent knows you suck and they don't have to try. And then they'll let a young guy like get, you know, like he'll let him eat for a game and you're like, whoa, he just put up 20 points against, you know, this great defense. You're like, yeah, but they weren't even, they didn't care.
Yeah, we call
it. I'd rather see in a must win. Now show me what you can do in a must win.
Yeah, we call that the Kevin Love effect, right? Kevin Love's like, oh man, he's triple-double, double-double. Then you get with Cleveland, like, who is this guy?
Yeah.
Not the same guy.
Yeah, LeBron would get frustrated with him, but he'd put up a 30-30 in a loss for the Timberwolves back in the day. But you get what I'm saying. So I don't know, like, I'm not going out of my mind about how this is a huge game and you must win, but I think if I'm Joe Judge, this is exactly what I want, and I would definitely, I'd milk this all the way to kickoff and see how jacked up I can get my players. And so I was thinking that way, but you as the player, I was wondering, would you be in the locker room, you know, getting ready for this game, thinking that same thing to yourself, like, hey, everybody, let's be ready, because we win this thing, all of a sudden, everybody's now got to start talking about us.
Yep.
Like, we're in it now, and you know, we're getting towards the holiday season, which is the best time for football, and we're not out of it, we're in it. Despite how bad the division is, with a lot of season to go, so you're telling me you would be like that?
Absolutely, man. Listen, I'm looking at that playoff check, baby. What are you talking about? I'm trying to eat. And if you listen, what happens is people stop paying attention to the record. All they say is they were a playoff team. People forget what the record was. They only do that every once in a while. When you say, hey, they went to the playoffs next year, that's the narrative.
Yeah, I know. You know, but LeGreca said that. Donnie was saying that, how if they finish 6-10, but you know, win the division and make the playoffs, you're still 6-10. There's still a lot of room for improvement.
You're a division winner.
But that's what, I just think it's almost like the best of both worlds. Yeah, there's room for improvement. You definitely need to get better, but you still won the division. Like, you still got something out of the season, and some of your young players played in meaningful games. I don't care if in the division game at home you lose 41-0. Mm-hmm. I don't care. The fact is, you had to play in important games, and that means some of your young players, including Daniel Jones, had to step up and show you that they can do it. Now, of course, that's the question. Daniel Jones versus Carson Wentz. Daniel Jones is not the only guy that's gotten a lot of attention lately. Carson Wentz in Philly, you talk about a lot of pressure. There's a lot of pressure. There's probably more pressure on him in this game than there is on Daniel Jones, because he has to win this game.
Yeah.
You want to talk about must win?
He's the chosen one. He's the chosen one. You're supposed to be the chosen one.
And we talked about it yesterday, right? Doug Peterson, you know, obviously what Brett Favre said. This game for Wentz is so critical that you wonder, is he going to be able to handle that kind of pressure? Weather hasn't been great, but it should be better this weekend. And now we're officially really into fall. Dude, like, we had the leaves done on Tuesday, and on Tuesday night, it was covered again. Like, it's amazing how fast the leaves are falling these days. But I got to shout out my guys at Bottles and Cases, good friend of the show.
Ooh.
Got me the fresh case for the autumn of Han Pinot Noir. And Bart, I'm telling you.
Can a brother get a bottle?
I feel terrible because I knew I was seeing you when we got to do the Levitard show together.
Yeah, you forgot.
And I was out. No, I was out. That's why I called him. I called my guy Mark Herman. I was like, Mark, I need a case. I'm out. And of course, you know, I didn't get it in time. I thought maybe you and I'd see each other today, but they didn't need us today. So that's the end of that.
We're going to need some extra of that. You know what I mean? Because what's happening is we're not going to have a family. You know what I'm saying? We're not going to have a family around like we normally would have during the holidays.
Right.
So we're going to drink a little bit more. You know, maybe we can get Zoom drunk.
Yeah, let's add that to the list.
Yeah, let's get Zoom drunk.
Anthony's just excited. Like, he is another thing he'd have to take care of then. Wine fridge. Great. Yeah, what if it shorts out the whole system? It's so bougie to have a wine fridge, but I love having one.
We can get Zoom drunk. You know what I mean?
Now, are you more of a? Are you a? John's going to get so mad at us because we're not talking sports today.
Yeah.
Are you a Cabernet guy? Are you a Merlot? Are you Pinot? I love Pinot Noir because you know I'm not as tough. I'm not tough enough to be like more of a.
I'm starting Merlot to figure out what I like. So I'm working with a wine company. They're going to make a wine in my name.
Come on now.
And so I
can't wait. 57.
It was something like Block 57. It was something like that. It was
Mad Backer.
No, they don't want it to be related to me. They just want it to be a nice, smooth brand.
I like
it. And then, you know, I just push it. But, you know, so I've been doing wine tasting. So I like Malbec, mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
I like how that tastes. But then I tasted some stuff from Camus. Oh, Camus was just like... It was like refreshing. It was like drinking Gatorade but with alcohol in it. You know what I'm saying? I felt like I was being refreshed. I felt like I was being hydrated, but then I feel like I can get nice and
sea moss.
I want to
find it's a work in progress. Let's get back to sports before Jonathan loses his mind and DM us.
So mad at us.
He pop up on our FaceTime little thing that we have going with the frown face.
Yeah, right away. Emoji. He's like, guys, come on. Seriously, it's Friday. I'm like, whatever. We're having fun. Alyssa Rose on Twitter, and I think this is a great point that she makes here. Great follow, by the way, Alyssa. Marlins hire a female GM. Then you also have a female agent represents the NL Cy Young Award winner. Mm. And on top of it, Steve Cohen's wife, Alex, is a Latina woman who became part owner of the New York Mets. So you think about what a week, right? If you think about it, in baseball for women in that sport.
So happy for women, man. I'm so with the women movement. I'm all about equality, man. And it's time, listen, it's time for them to have their voices heard and representation, man. We want representation.
Well, I mean, it's just to put in the same amount of work, right, as most people. You don't have to, it's clear you don't have to have played the game to have an expertise in it.
Especially.
A lot of people have proven that, so, or at least play it at a high level. You don't have to have played at the pro level
to
be able to make smart decisions. And Kim Ng has been named the GM of the Marlins, and that is it's a landmark moment in that sport. So, we just wanted to point that out. All right.
Random question before we go. Speaking of baseball, I don't understand this, right? So before the pandemic happened, the first sport to get back to playing baseball was the Korean Baseball League, right?
Yes.
They still playing. Like, how long is this damn league?
Well, Major League Baseball is 162 games plus playoffs.
But, bro, this was March.
Was it March? No. Did the Korean League start in March?
Man, it was March or April, man. I swear this must be like the marathon.
Oh my God,
this must be the Lance Armstrong League.
These guys are exhausted. Like, the Lance Armstrong League.
Like it's an 8-month league, man. Hey, what
you know
hell
what?
Is
the
this?
Way things are going, they might be the only league playing again.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? The Browns have a COVID issue. I mean, look. The NFL is going
to
finish
football.
This thing.
College football is...
Yeah, I don't even know. Will we have a championship? You know what I mean? I mean, they're now talking about even delaying the playoff.
The crazy thing is, you talk about Wisconsin. Wisconsin is the 13th ranked team. Ask me how many games they played, Alan.
Two?
One!
No, they played one.
How the hell are you going to be the 13th ranked team? You play one team.
Oh, my God. That's
but
a
they don't
question.
Wanna, but they don't want to explain. They don't want to expand the playoffs. How the hell are you not going to expand the playoffs? How can you just go off reputation?
I believe in the idea that was kicked around about take the six bowl games and turn it into a, you know, like the bracket type tournament.
That was me.
I love that idea. I don't know who said that. But I think it's a great idea for now. Unless, all right, whatever. Let's just take the best. Look. It's still going to end up being the usual blue bloods,
right.
And that's just how it goes. Because
BYU's 8-0
for ratings.
BYU's 8-0. Cincinnati's 7-0. Mm-hmm. You mean to tell me that they're right behind a team that's played one damn game? Makes no sense. And then what happens is with Ohio State not playing and Indiana moving up, if they can't remake that game, the game was just canceled. Then you potentially is not going to have the biggest star in the Big Ten in the Big Ten championship. Because they have the East and the West.
No,
so it's like, what are we talking about, man?
Well, we're talking about what's going to matter most, which is, of course, ratings and money and all that other stuff. So that's why you'll still see Ohio State and Alabama
Clemson
and who would be the fourth team? Notre Dame, because there's a lot of money in that.
Yeah, but when you make, but then what happens is then what are we going to say about Clemson?
Sorry, BYU, not enough people watch you.
But what are we going to say? What are we going to say about Clemson, Florida? So you got Texas A&M. Yeah. Right, so like you're just gonna put Clemson in there because now you got to say, well, they lost.
Getting the biggest ratings, and who can really argue Clemson, Alabama,
Ohio State,
and Notre Dame? Who can argue those four? You could make a case for
Florida?
Other teams. Like I said, you can make the case, Bart, but in a season where one team plays three games, the other team's playing eight games, the other team's played five games, some play, team played one game, like you don't have enough to go on, so you go with what you know. These four teams are pretty damn good. They'll put up a good show, and this is what we're going to do this year.
See, but Notre Dame's getting credit for what? Notre Dame's getting credit because they beat a Trevor Lawrence-less team.
Barely.
So we don't know, right, so we don't know how good they are, right? We don't know how much better they are than Florida.
But it's college football.
Miami?
It's college football.
You, but it's billion dollar
like
business.
There's some type of standard to this.
They're like
they follow some kind of protocol. They do whatever the hell they want.
I'm just amazed at how stupid a bunch of group of people can be. Like, they're so selfish.
Is it that stupid to put the teams that most of the country would want to watch BYU?
No.
Who the hell's watching BYU in a semifinal against Clemson?
Okay, tell me this. Why do we talk about when baseball was going, we talked about how good it was that they expanded the playoffs. Why? Because now you keep other markets engaged.
Yeah, but it's
right?
Different.
But it's still smaller markets. No, it's not. All you do is you take those same bowl games and you make those qualifiers.
So Provo Utah now is interested in watching a bowl game. Or I mean, I don't know.
Well,
if they have
Oregon in there, or if they have USC in there, I think if you expand it like that, and now you got a big market.
The Pac-12 is too scared; they don't want to play.
But now you got a big market in there, right? Or you talk about the biggest. Listen, we have no Texas in there. Texas A&M is the seventh, but they'll be left out. Well, you don't think that's a huge market? You got a million people with COVID; they in the house.
It's fair, but I'm telling you, in the end, this decision is going to come down to what the best rating is going to be. Because as you said, everybody's in the house. And I need to get eyeballs on this because I can't put a lot of people in the stadium. That's where they make their money off these Sugar Bowl and everything else. That's where they make their money. Fill the building. New Orleans gets lit up because everybody shows up for that game. Right. You know how it goes.
But I'm saying,
we can't do that this year. So let's make sure we have the best teams that have the most marketability and the best range when it comes to ratings, because we need that. And that's what they're going to do, Bart. I'm calling it right now. That's what they're going to do.
But Alan, listen, I trust you. Listen, whenever we talk basketball, I trust you. I mean, with my soul, my heart. Mm-hmm. One call I got to make. Who wants to be a millionaire? Phone a friend. I'm calling you. Why is basketball so intriguing? Because during the tournament, the most exciting time of the year, because you have the Cinderellas. The Cinderellas is what captivates and grabs people's heart. What's the old lady in the wheelchair the couple years ago from Chicago?
Oh, the nun, the sister.
Sister Loyola, let me steal the show. She was so mm-hmm. selfish. She was all about herself.
Oh,
she was
stop.
A bad person.
How
That's something totally different.
How dare you? Hey, listen. Apparently, we're getting off topic again. There is more we can get to. Look, this from Ralph Vacchiano. Joe Judge says that Will Hernandez, now activated off COVID, the COVID list. Expects he will play against the Eagles. That's good for the offensive line. But also, you saw Golden Tate hurt his knee in practice, right? You know about this guy.
He hurt his knee in practice.
Well, they're optimistic that he could play, but you could tell that they really made an example of him. You think there's something going on, too?
I think he made an example of them. I think he's playing hurt. He's acting hurt because he didn't get traded.
Yeah, but I like the way Joe Judge has handled that. That's what you want to see. He's very much in control. I'm very impressed with Judge this whole season so far, and I really am curious to see how his team comes out and plays against the Eagles. And obviously, you get that sense of urgency. But let me ask you quickly here that we're obviously not looking at it from the Eagles' point of view. If you're an Eagles fan, if you run the Eagles, if you're Doug Peterson, if you're Carson Wentz,
yeah,
this game, you can't just like look at this as the Giants are 2-7 and a young team and we beat them the last time. This is like, this game could really take a lot out of the Eagles if they don't win this game.
Yeah.
I mean, they're still going to have very good chance. A loss drops into 64% to win the division. So they still are the favorites to win the division, even if they fell to 3-5-1.
Yeah.
That's not the point. Point is, if Carson Wentz can't win this game against the Giants, it gets louder and louder out of Philly about whether or not he's the guy for the future for this franchise. Isn't that true?
Because the next person come out is Donovan McNabb. Like, yeah, this guy's a bum.
Or another ex-quarterback.
Yeah. See, y'all didn't love
me. Jaworski, is he going to come out?
Exactly. Y'all didn't appreciate me when I was there. See, but now you get this guy all this leeway. He can't beat the Giants on a rebuilding season. So, yeah, the noise definitely gets a lot louder. But I think it's kind of unfair that we're attacking Carson Wentz because they gave him the money. This is a, we've seen this all the time. We've seen guys at the end of
of a moment, right? The window closing, right? And this is a part of the window closing. This is what happens when you make so many transactions, when you give up future assets to win a championship. Guess what? They got the championship. Philly was all in for a championship. Never had a championship in their history. They went all in to get it. And these are the repercussions. You start to get old.
But the repercussions
start to get expensive.
But you know what? If Carson Wentz doesn't get hurt and leads them to that Super Bowl,
yeah,
then nobody says a word because he helped them get the ring.
But who got
hurt
him there?
I know, that's what I mean, though. What hurts him is that even though he was having an MVP season, he was playing out of his mind, and then he got hurt. So he wasn't the guy to go Philly, right? He wasn't that guy to
probably
win the game. And so they're
fit misery, dilly-dilly.
You know what I mean? So that's why I feel this game...
He doesn't get the credit for that.
No, he doesn't. And this game, in a weird way, means a lot all of a sudden for Carson Wentz and that whole narrative going on in Philly. So if you're the Giants, you also want to keep that in mind. And let's make sure you make Carson Wentz as uncomfortable as possible and see if he cracks. Right away, it's amazing. I just mention it and the responses we're getting at Barton Hahn. Please, no buffet options with Westbrook.
They hate me.
Like, right away.
So just take Westbrook then. No buffet options? You don't want options?
Russ,
you just want the mashed potatoes?
Bad legs. Athletic ability. He won't have the club. Blah, 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 blah. It's just funny to me. And this is not me taking a side, because I've talked to enough people over the last couple of days, when it comes to the Russell Westbrook Knicks angle, that third year at $47 million has got everybody like, whoa, that's the hardest thing to accept is that one, is the third year in the $47 million. 2 years, you might say, he's 32, guy still has some game, it'll be a nice little bridge, you could do it. But that third year is the one that's got the whole league like, I don't know if I want that contract, right? Because you don't know what you don't know what he's going to be in 3 years. You don't know what the cap's going to be, all that stuff.
But he's going to be at 35, Allen? I mean, we just talking about bringing Chris Paul in. He's 35 now.
All right, well, let me get to that. That's the thing. Now, again, this is just strictly from a Knicks perspective because, as we're hearing, there's not many teams around the league that have any interest. Russ doesn't really want to be there. He's made that pretty clear. And it's been reported. He'd rather not be there. And they look like a franchise that is ready to accelerate a rebuild. So if that's the case, the Rockets going to feel compelled to move him. The Charlotte Hornets reportedly have interest. Michael Jordan obviously is there. Michael and Russ have a great relationship. And the Jordan brand connections there as well. And the Hornets really could use something, right? They need a little sizzle. They're kind of one of those teams. Yeah. So they'd be interested in doing it. But I'm telling you, man, when you think about it from a Knicks perspective, I made a case yesterday. I laugh that every time you mention players, fans will quickly tell you how much they suck. And even when you talk to draft, it's not a great draft, but let me talk about this one player. No. And they tell you all the reasons why he sucks. It's like, tell me why he's good. So if you don't want the Russell Westbrook scenario of you're not giving up any of your young players that are significant to your future, you're not giving up any major draft picks, not the 8th overall pick, not your own pick, you're not giving up anything like that. You'd probably give up a pick that's like 27 or 20th or something like that in the future. So just understand that point of view for me. I'm not saying it's the Carmelo deal and you're just giving up 20 players and, just scorch the earth. No. That's all I was saying, but nobody wants it, so fine. So, Bart, let me tell you what other options I've heard could be there for the Knicks who are looking for something to help them accelerate the process here. So right? Get out of the lottery, get out of losing, and have some type of credibility around them.
So you got something other than mashed potatoes?
Maybe.
Mm.
So the other one that we've all talked about and we all know about it is Chris Paul. And the Thunder are actively trying to help him find a team that he'd be happy to go to and move on, because they are also going now into a rebuild. And so Chris Paul, there's been the talk about him and the Phoenix Suns, and there's been some talk there, and that got quiet real fast. You know why? Robert Sarver, one of the owners there, saw the contract and was like, what does that do to our payroll?
Yeah.
I don't really know if I'm comfortable with this, right? Maybe I need the Thunder to take back a contract in this deal because they have cap space, but he might be like, I don't know if I want to do that. So That's always going to be an issue. But Phoenix is close to L.A. That's where Chris Paul wants to be. I've been saying this for months. I've been trying to tell everybody. Chris Paul, his preference is to be back home in L.A. where his family stayed while he played in Houston and Oklahoma City. That's where they'd allow him to go back. He felt good about that. But the family's still in L.A., and he wants to be there. For the Clippers or Lakers to make a trade, the Thunder, really, there's nothing either one of those teams have that they want. They don't want a big contract. They want an expiring, if anything, or they'd love for you to absorb his contract into your space so that they don't have to take anything back. Yep. And all they'd really want is a pick or something just to feel good. So the Lakers don't really have anything to offer in that sense. The Clippers don't really have anything either. They'd probably need a third team to help. And no one wants to help them. So if he can't find a way back to L.A. or close to L.A., which is what Phoenix would provide, the Knicks would be the next best scenario and the Knicks are seriously considering it because of the credibility and leadership that he would bring them, and it's also 2 years, very short term. So I understand. He does have the injury, you know, the thing that comes up with him, the hamstring stuff that you mentioned, Bart, many times before, but that's one that on a 2 year, you'd feel a little bit easier than that third year that Russ brings. And Russ is younger, but Chris Paul does bring a lot of leadership and stuff that he showed you in Oklahoma City. That's one option. You don't like that? All right, here's another one then. Victor Oladipo, his people have been trying to get him to New York for months. There was a story out yesterday about how after games, he would go up to different players from different teams and say, yo, how can I get on your team? And one of them happened to be the Knicks, which everybody laughed at. But I've been telling you that Oladipo, he has a singing career he's trying to promote. You saw him on The Masked Singer last spring.
Put him in the booth
with
Mary J., baby. Put him in the booth with Mary J.
He feels like that's, you know, so coming to New York would help him on that level. Now, Oladipo's got, he's an expiring. So 1 year, it's a $21 million 1 year. He does have an injury that he was starting to come back from, but it could be a little concerning. You don't know. But he's a guy that if you acquire him, you'd probably think you'd need to extend him, right? Like you'd want to make sure you're acquiring him for something. How much would it cost? What would it take to get him from Indiana? That's all up in the air. But it's a 1 year right now, and it's $21 million. But it's coming off an injury for a guy who's 28 years old, and he would dominate the basketball because that's how he plays. So those are your options. There really isn't much. Fred VanVleet, you want to wait and hope you can get him in free agency? Well, if you wait and all these other options are now off the table, and then Fred VanVleet says, I'm staying in Toronto, well, guess what? Your only other option after that is you run it back. Last year's roster, run it back. So, Bart, those are all scenarios. Here, right? Which one are you most comfortable with?
I tell you what. Russell with the 47, like they act like it's going to be like A-Rod at 40. You know what I mean? Like, can he attract other stars, right? Is he big enough to attract other stars? And if you're not going to spend it on him, then are we waiting for maybe Donovan Mitchell in that relationship to have a divorce and you don't want
Donovan
to lock
Mitchell,
up money?
I didn't mention that. I'm glad you brought that up. Donovan Mitchell is another thing that you kind of might want to hit the pause button because Mitchell, you have to watch. Now, I know that The Athletic reported at the end of the bubble when Utah was eliminated that Mitchell is expected, that Utah will offer him a max extension and he will accept it. That was reported. But it hasn't happened yet because business hasn't opened yet. You watch that. If, by any reason, Donovan Mitchell says, I'm not taking the extension right now, I want to go into, you know, he'll be a restricted free agent. They'll have to QO him at the end of this year, and then he becomes a restricted free agent. That would make, to me, Utah would be uncomfortable because it would be the first indication that maybe he doesn't really want to stay in Salt Lake City. So that's what you watch also, and you have to wait and see. So to me, there's so much up in the air that I don't think you jump on anything.
Don't miss Bart Scott and Alan Hahn. Weekdays at 11 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN.